Welcome to the second module, question and answer of the Healing Through Love seminar series with Dr. Erica Goodstone. The date is March 15, 2012. This topic is about healing your relationship to others. But the first question that I received was a concern that one person had based on the exercises from the previous segment about healing your relationship to yourself. And this person said, in answer to this question, I just can't seem to answer, who am I? And since I don't really know who I am, how can I create a relationship with someone else? And I thought that was such an important question that I really wanted to give the best answer I could to that. So my response in thinking about it is that I don't think your current lack of clarity about who you are is really a problem. I actually think that this is something good because it is revealing to you that at this point in your life, you're not clear, not only about what you want or why you keep getting stuck or keep getting sick or whatever's happening to you, but you are not even clear about who you are and who you want to be. So it's actually a good place to be because out of that confusion, which Fritz Perls calls the fertile void, a lot of good can happen. So that for the next few days, wherever you are, whenever you think about this question, who am I, keep asking yourself, who am I? And I would ask myself, who is Erica? Who do I believe I am? Who do I want to be, and who do I aspire to be? An interesting factor in here is that in the past, you may have been very clear or thought you were clear about who you are, but life circumstances change, and when something really changes in your life, you may lose that sense of who you are, and maybe you're peeling away a layer of your own defenses, so that you're discovering you're not quite that whoever you thought you were before. So another way to really discover who you are and who you want to be is with every person you meet or you talk to or anyone you watch from a distance, even when you're watching TV or a movie, anything outside of yourself, when you remember, ask yourself, who do I think this other person is? And is this someone I would like to be like? Would I like to have that person's attitude or their behavior or their appearance? I mean, a lot of us would like to look like someone gorgeous, much younger, but I'm talking about their whole general appearance. Would you want to be like that? So the more that you see from outside of yourself what you like and what you don't like, the more you become clear about who I am and who can I become, and who do I want to be? It seems to me that you're already at a real crossroads in your life, not wanting to go back to however you were before in the past, but not yet ready to become the fullest version of you that you aspire to be. So you want to be more acquainted with who you are now and who you really can be. It's time for you to get your mind off what you don't have and start to focus on what you do have that you can offer to others. Instead of focusing on who you are, think about how you are affecting others, have affected others in the past, how you may have comforted or understood people or acknowledged them or been there for them in a way that maybe other people haven't been. So it's really acknowledging who you are, who you have been, and then discovering who you are becoming and who you want to be. Once I know myself, this is the second question, how can I begin to know my partner if he has, as a mistress or as a separate special connection, his computer? And it doesn't have to be his computer. This person mentioned the computer. But it could be someone who goes out to play golf with the buddies, and that's like his mistress, or It can also be a woman who's totally connected to shopping or with her friends, whatever it is. So I'm going to maybe generalize it a little bit more. But what do I do? How do I get closer to this person if we seem to lead separate lives and I seem to be in my room or my portion of the house and the other person is at the other end of the room or their portion of the house or not even in the house a lot of times? So in thinking about this, my answer is that since you seem to have developed a distancing routine in your own home, then I would suggest one way to start creating a better connection is that when you're outside of the house, starting with maybe when you go to a restaurant, that at that point you communicate and share more of what you're really feeling and how you would like to be a little bit closer in the house. Another time is if you can get your partner to go for a walk with you, even a short 15-minute walk, and during that time you can share what you're really feeling, not in the same way that you would do it in the house where you may be feeling I'm neglected and I'm alone, but if you're outside and you're walking together, it's a little easier for you to share this. And also, by walking and moving, as I have said previously, men use both sides of the brain more easily, women use both sides of the brain more easily than men do. But when a man is walking, it stimulates both sides of the brain, and he may be able to be more receptive while you're walking, rather than if you go into the room, say he's in the other room with his computer and you go in and interrupt him, that doesn't work as well as communicating at a different time so that he starts to become aware at a different time when he's not in the middle of this obsession that he has with whatever he's focused on, but at an outside time to really start planting the seeds of how you would like it to be in the relationship. And very important to have a quality of patience, not expecting anything instantly. So the goal is to find a time and a place that you can share how you're feeling from your heart, that the status quo is not okay, and it's real important not to be making that other person wrong, but to be sharing about how I feel. The next question, what are the key elements for creating a relationship with another person? There are many elements to a relationship, and I'm finding that certain ones are really crucial. And one of them is communication. And communication does not just mean saying, I want this and I want that, but what it really is saying what is true for you and coming from your heart, coming from your emotional sensitivity, that being as open as you can be, letting yourself be vulnerable, letting the other person see that you're not this tough person attacking and criticizing, but you're really sharing something that matters to you. And also hearing what matters, not only hearing, but listening carefully to what matters to the other person. Asking questions and finding out what matters, not what you assume the other person is thinking and feeling. And emotional closeness, that's really important, because what happens is if you're not communicating openly like that and your partner goes somewhere else, it could be anywhere, it could be at work, it could be with friends, it could be just in any other circumstance. If any one of us is not receiving that emotional understanding and closeness with our partner that we live with, we may get it somewhere else. And that only causes more distance. So the more that you can open up yourself, that can help the other person to open up. Without forcing, just sharing as often as you can. And another very important part of a relationship is all of these three, and one is not necessarily so much more important than another, physical, sensual, and sexual contact. And pleasure. So that physical contact, it really depends on the level that the other person can accept. Like somebody said something on one of my webinars about kissing, that if my partner doesn't like to kiss, and if I'm supposed to give what I'm not receiving, then should I just keep kissing that person? And that's not what that means. When you are not receiving something, you want to give from whatever you think you're not receiving, but you really have to look a little deeper. If you're not receiving physical affection and you want to receive it, so you think I should just give it, that doesn't quite work, because if the other person is feeling distant and doesn't feel comfortable touching at the moment, for you to go grabbing at them would only make them cringe and back away. So it's good to look beneath that. Yes, I want the physical touch or the sensual touch, but what will that do for me? What is it that I will get from having that? Will I feel calmer? Will my body feel more relaxed? So this is what you can give to another person. You can assist to help the other person feel calmer, help their body feel more relaxed, help them feel a little more sensual by the words you use, by the tone of voice, by what you bring their attention to, like looking at flowers. And so you can get that sense that you want that's underneath the quality of the touching or the sexuality, and that's how it may come to you, but you can't force it. It may or may not come, but at least you can give yourself as much of whatever that is that you need as possible. Another quality that is really required in relationships, not talked about very much, is courage. The courage to be yourself, the courage to do the right thing with another person, even if it's painful for you, the courage to look at what's good for your partner, not just what's good for you in any given moment, and also the courage to speak up about what you want and need. Another important quality in a relationship is sharing responsibility in such a way that you feel as though you're a team working together. So many couples forget that they're on the same side, and they feel like adversaries, like you want something and he wants something, and you feel like you're battling each other, instead of both of you working toward whatever it is, shared goals that you have. So an important thing is to clarify what the goals are and the dreams of your partner and yourself, and to not just focus on your partner's dreams or just on your dreams, but on as much as possible sharing the dreams. And another important quality in creating a relationship is acceptance. Accepting yourself first, as you are, acknowledging yourself, accepting yourself, having a sense that I love myself, valuing yourself, and also valuing, loving, and accepting your partner exactly as they are, even if they never change. Just really seeing this person for who he or she is, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever it is, the temper, the sweet side, whatever it is, and you can build from there, but it is so important to first accept it, even embrace it, allow it to be there. And another quality is respect, very, very important. If you have respect for yourself, you will take a stand when it's necessary. If you have respect for the other person, you will allow them to have their differences, and you will give them room to have a different way of thinking that maybe is wrong, maybe it's incorrect, but give them the room to discover another way of looking at it rather than you hitting them over the head with what you think is the right way. And so that involves tolerance, having tolerance for differences, for not getting your own way, maybe never getting your own way. And then another important aspect, all of the rest is what you can do to make it work, to help it to be a little smoother, to smooth the edges. This last one is so important for relationships to go on and be happy, is to share some fun time together and to have a sense of humor together. And if for some reason you feel as though you lost it, maybe bring it back. Find a way to enjoy some time together, even if you can create date nights. That doesn't always work for everybody, but if you can, make it special and share some fun times. Okay, the next question. In creating a relationship, how important is body language, voice tonality, and the words we use? What does all that communicate, and what impact does that have on each person? I'd like to begin by saying our bodies do not lie. We can say words that are hurtful or not true, but if we're looking at a person's body as they're saying something that's not true, we could see whether it really is true. The old saying that sticks and stones will break our bones, but words will never harm us, I believe is just not true. Words can be very hurtful, and the tone of voice can really, really like penetrate. And it doesn't have to be loud and screaming. It can be with just an attitude. Words can make us beam with delight and feel confident and strong, or we can cringe in fear and feel humiliated and unloved and even abandoned. We could speak in a tone that we think is not loud, but our partner might hear it as yelling. We might say nice words, but we could be crossing our arms or turn our head away and avoid eye contact. If one person reaches out to touch, the partner might cringe or back away. But the body language that seems to be the leading indicator of eventual divorces, according to marriage relationship researcher John Gottman, is when one of you, or both of you, has this look and attitude of disdain and disgust toward the partner. It's like invalidating that person so deeply. That look creates more distance and emotional pain than other types of body language. So if your partner is doing that, it's real important for you to take a stand gently and say what effect that look has. Not to be dealing with the issue, because the issue is not important. What they're talking about is not what's important. It's their body language. And a small shift in that body language can help both of you to feel so much better. That person will feel better, too, if that body language is softened. Because the more you get into a certain physical stance within your body, the more it affects your mind and you get stuck in a certain way of thinking. As your body softens a little bit, that can soften the way you're thinking, too. Probably loosens up some of the synapses. And some suggestions. If your partner is exhibiting a certain type of body language, you can either imitate that body language so that if someone's crossing their arms, you cross your arms also. Or if they have an attitude of disdain, you give an attitude like that back. They might get it that way. Or you can do the opposite to have a strong effect. When you mirror their body language, that can give a sense of rapport when you imitate their body language because then you're not intruding on them. If they're distancing, you're distancing. So that can sometimes actually let them soften. But the other can also have that effect because they can see you relaxed and then they become much more aware of what they're doing. The problem comes when you just cringe at it and you react in some maybe like a hovering way, like you're feeling affected, then they got what they wanted out of that body language or posture, and they're not going to change. So it's subtle behavior, and it's really interesting. So in order to not respond in a robot-like, automatic way, you need to become really centered and confident in your own self and in your own body. If that sense of personal groundedness is part of your everyday sense of yourself, the other person will not easily be able to unbalance and disturb your emotional state. You may or may not be able to alter the other person's emotional state, but you really don't have that much power. All you can do is make the effort and not get caught up in it emotionally yourself as much as possible. And if you do get caught up and feel that pain or cringe or whatever you feel in reaction, you don't have to respond back. You can walk away. You can say something soft. You can say, this is upsetting me. You can handle it in many different ways. You don't have to just respond back. The only person you have total control over, if you develop this, is your own self. So the next question, how does forgiveness and understanding help my relationship with others? We are all spiritual beings in human bodies who may have forgotten who we really are. When you know this without a doubt, then you can much more easily forgive another person. You can actually repeat these words in your mind, something like what Jesus said on the cross. I'm just paraphrasing in my own way. Forgive him. He doesn't really know. Or forgive her. She really doesn't know. The fact is, we are all these loving, spiritual, amazingly powerful beings, and every one of us has unique gifts and an important life purpose. We are all lovable, capable of loving, and loved. If you or your partner knows who you really are, you can instantly forgive and even forget the minor transgressions. If someone is acting in an emotional state, and if you don't get caught in it, you can really step back and see that they just don't realize. They don't realize their own power. They're feeling inadequate at the moment. It's coming from somewhere else. And you can just much more easily forgive when you see them as a potentially loving spiritual being, no matter how they're behaving right now. Next question, what should I avoid if I want to create a relationship with another person? I would say avoid the temptation to live your life in the hope that the other person will change to suit what you believe is the right way to be. Avoid acting loving in order to be loved. Avoid acting altogether. Be and become authentic, real, open, honest, and trustworthy, even if at some point you get hurt by that. But isn't it better to be hurt when you see the truth that I was being myself, I was doing what I could, and that hurt me? Isn't that better than getting hurt when you weren't even being real, so you don't even know how that person would have responded if you were being real? It's always better to be real and authentic and let the chips fall where they may. If this person doesn't appreciate you, someone else will. Say what you mean and mean what you say. So be true to yourself and to others. State your desires, needs, values, wants, dreams, and expectations clearly and openly. And be willing to leave at any time. I'm not saying to leave at any time. What I'm saying is to be willing to leave, knowing and trusting that you can be okay and the other person will also be okay. The problems come when you don't want to leave because there's something you're getting from this relationship, a certain level of comfort and security, but you're not happy. So instead of leaving and taking a strong stance, you want to stay, but you want to push this other person to change something to please you. If the other person does not want to change and you feel a need for that person to change, you cannot create an intimate relationship. It's just not going to really work. And I think this is the last question. When I have a disagreement with someone, what is the best way to act or respond to ensure that the relationship continues to grow with that person? The best way to respond is to be curious and ask questions instead of assuming you understand or assuming they're purposely doing something to hurt you or neglect you or something on that end. Find out what the other person really means, really wants, really intends. Find out what that person dreams about and longs for. Then tell your own truth from the perspective of, I feel, I want. is there anything I can do to make this better? And how can we get through this together? Remember that you're a team. Build the teamwork. There is no best way to act or respond to ensure your relationship continues to grow. You cannot ensure that your relationship will grow. The other person has free will. You do not have control over the way the other person thinks, feels, or behaves. The only one you have control over is your own self. You operate with integrity. Be and become the highest version of you that you can possibly be. And then you let go and let God. It is out of your hands. You cannot control everything. Are you willing to be love in action and to be the source of love for others? The question is, who is the center of your universe? If you remain the center of your own universe, you cannot love another fully. Falling in love is passive. We do nothing to feel that love. We receive love from another person, or we are triggered to feel love toward another person. That is the state of falling in love. Being love involves taking loving action. We feel it, we think it, and we do it. Love is a state of being from which we choose to do what appears to be in the best interest of another person, not just what is momentarily pleasurable for us, or not just behavior for what we plan to receive in the future. And how do you know what actions are best for another person? This comes back to what was listed earlier, communicating openly and authentically, asking questions and really listening for the responses, communicating with respect and tolerance, acceptance, appreciation, acknowledgement, forgiveness, and tender sensitivity. Love involves getting what we want to receive without any guarantee. Love involves giving what we want to receive without any guarantee that we will receive it from the person to whom we gave it. Love requires persistence, perseverance, and faith in something beyond our own physical self. Love is a choice and a promise with no guarantee that it will create the kind of relationship that we believe we want. But as we exhibit love and become love and share love, wonderful things happen around us and our world expands. So now I would like to give you an affirmation for relationship healing. So these are words that you can say within yourself. As I'm saying it, you can kind of gradually repeat it. I call upon my own inner connection to the higher source or God to assist me to fill my body and surround myself inside and out with a beautiful healing sense of love, pure light, and perfect harmony, health, and emotional serenity. I know who I am, and I love myself now and always. The more I feel that love within myself, and allow my own love to spread outward toward others, I become a love magnet, attracting lasting, happy, loving relationships into my life. I am truly grateful for all the people in my life, even and especially those people who seem to affect my emotional well-being. Love comes to me and stays with me easily and effortlessly in all situations. I know I deserve love, and I fully accept love now. I am ready for a healthy, loving relationship. I welcome love into my arms, into my life with open arms. Today, I release fear and open my heart to true love. I realize I am the perfect partner for my perfect partner, and I deserve a loving, healthy, fulfilling relationship. I deserve to be loved, and I allow myself to be loved. And take a breath, take a nice deep breath, and let it go. And now give thanks. Now ask for the clearest blessing, the most powerful healing at this time, for your own highest good and for the highest good of everyone in your life and even those not currently part of your life circle. Ask for the most love-centered results in your life at this time and give thanks. Continue to feel the gratitude for what you do have in your life at this moment and in every moment. Give thanks for already having received the love and healing and joy that you want, knowing that it truly emanates from within you. Remember the power of accessing and sharing your love with everyone and everything that exists. Imagine yourself living and being within a vortex of pure love. Hold that image. Feel the love within every cell of your body. Now release the image. Let the love spread from within you to the entire universe. Place your right hand on your heart and your left hand on your solar plexus. Say to yourself, I am love. I am pure love. My love has unlimited healing power to myself and for others. I choose to be love and share my love openly and freely, knowing that love is all there is, and where there is love, there is a way. Now, let your love spread out toward everyone and everything that exists. Let it go. Feel it moving outward and away from you, and at the same time, filling you with a beautiful and pure white light. Now, we're going to do one more little exercise. So take a moment to breathe deeply and feel yourself solidly sitting in your chair, relaxing into your chair. Feel your feet on the ground. Breathe a few times deeply. This exercise is about cutting emotional cords to somebody who's been very important to you and you have certain attachments and possibly some negative attachments. So think of a person that you would like to do this with. It can be your spouse, it can be someone else, it could be a parent, a child, but just think of someone. You don't necessarily want to break off and get away from this person, although you might, but it's really about cutting the cords that keep you stuck in some kind of pattern with this person. Okay, so you're going to begin this with a person that is really important to you and you have a certain stuckness around being with that person. So visualize a bridge that you can walk across. Imagine yourself standing on the far end of this bridge and then imagine the person you want to cut the cords with is standing on the opposite end of the bridge from you. when you feel ready to energetically connect with this other person, imagine that you begin walking very slowly toward the middle of the bridge. And allow the other person to start walking toward you, meeting you halfway on this bridge. Once you are getting close and can have eye contact, and don't worry if you really see a person or if you're just thinking it, but imagine that you are making eye contact with one another. You can begin talking to this person with an inner dialogue. So imagine telling this other person in words and with your body language, telling this person how you feel about the way you have been treated. Imagine telling this person how you feel about the way they respond to you. And tell this person the ways that you may feel unloved or needy when you are around this person. It's not a time to be angry or to feel resentment. It's a moment for you to think about letting go of these intense emotional ties that keep you stuck in an unloving, unproductive, angry or hurtful or some other stuck pattern with this person. And now tell this person that you are sorry for all the things you have said or done that may have hurt or affected this other person in some way that maybe you didn't even realize. Tell this person that you are now ready to forgive him or her for any hurtful or insensitive words or actions that they have done or said that affected you or that affected your relationship with that person. And remember to ask that person to forgive you for any ways that you have been hurtful or insensitive to that person. Now take a moment to reflect, and if there's anything else you feel you still would like to say, imagine yourself expressing that to this other person now. And now pause and imagine that you have a big scissor. Take that scissor and start cutting the cords between you. Imagine that there are emotional cords, energetic cords, that are attached between you. And imagine cutting these cords of all these negative, difficult, guilt-ridden, angry, resentful stuff that you may have been harboring or the other person may have been harboring. So imagine just cutting them. Cut the cords and, you know, pull them away. Do whatever you have to do to separate the connection, the emotional negative type of connection with this person, so that you have a clean separateness. You are complete and the other person is complete. And imagine wiping away the strands of the cords on both of you so that you both have a nice clean outer aura, not connected in that way anymore, and you're both complete, full human beings. Take a deep breath. Feel the freedom of being disconnected so that you can truly be you and truly allow this other person to be him or herself fully. Now, tell this other person that you choose to share your love no matter what he or she says or does. Tell this person that you plan to be love no matter what. And you will also love yourself no matter what. Now, if you feel so inclined, imagine walking closer and hugging this person with all the love you feel in your heart. In fact, you can even imagine going inside of this person and being one with this other person. And then when you separate, imagine that a piece of you is inside of that person, and a piece of that person is inside of you, a loving, accepting, acknowledging piece. Feel the love that both of you have for your own self and for each other. And now slowly feel yourself separating, physically separating from this other person. Imagine standing there and feeling the love expanding back and forth, emanating from within you toward the other person and boomeranging back to you, and emanating from within the other person through you and boomeranging back to them, so that you're in this complex sea of mutual energy of love. Feel the love surrounding both of you. And now, get yourself ready, turn around, and start to walk off the bridge. And imagine that you hear the footsteps of the other person walking off the bridge in the other direction. And as you're walking, hold that full sense of being filled up with love, having an abundant and overflowing level of love that you can share now and in the future with your partner, with this person, and with everyone. And remembering that you have all that love within yourself. So take another moment to feel what it's like inside of you to feel love.